Blog Talk Radio.
Now, in its second edition, Carol Dean's popular book, The Art of Film Funding, has 12 new chapters to cover all areas of film financing and how to avoid expensive pitfalls. Learn how to start with an idea and end with a trailer. How to make an ask for money. Create your story structure and your trailer. Legal advice, fair use, successful crowdfunding, how to ask for music rights, and what insurance you can't shoot without. Available on Amazon under Carol Dean and at FromTheHeartProductions.com. Hi, and welcome to The Art of Film Funding. I'm your co-host, Claire Papin, along with Carol Dean, author of the best-selling book, The Art of Film Funding. Carol is also the founder and president of From the Heart Productions and the host of this show. Tom Malloy, our guest, has raised more than $25 million in private equity from independent financiers and has written, produced, and starred or even co-starred in nearly all the films. Some of these films include Ashley, which starred Nicole Fox and Michael Madsen last year, Love and Dancing, directed by Rob Escov, and stars Amy Smart, Billy Zane, and Betty White, and the psychological thriller The Alphabet Killer, directed by Rob Schmidt, and starring several wonderful people like Timothy Hutton, Oscar winner Melissa Leo. Tom also starred in the film. And in addition to his work as a filmmaker, Tom is an accomplished author whose book, Bankroll, A New Approach to Financing Feature Films, is considered the gold standard of indie film financing instruction. And it's in its second edition, which came out in 2012. And Carol, I believe you and Tom have a new intentional filmmaking class starting up soon.
Yes, we do, Claire, and it's listed on the website FromTheHeartProductions.com. Tom is so brilliant with producing, acting, starring in, creating money. He's a wizard. Hi, Tom. Nice to have
hey.
You.
Great to be here and be talking to you again, for sure.
Okay. Well, let's get started with this. You not only do you have this impressive history of raising money for your films, but you are also a Screen Actors Guild writer with a good track record, right? Where do you stand now?
WGA writer. So there's a different union for that, but the Writers Guild. But yeah, you know, I've done actually 15 screenplays sold, either sold, optioned, or made into films. So it's you know, that writing has always been very good to me, and it's something that I do a lot. And you know, it's a great escape, and it's a great aspect of the business for a lot of people to get involved in.
You must have the ability to really stay focused to write while you are producing, mentoring, and then even teaching. How do you do all this, Tom?
And I have two kids, which is the icing on the cake. But, you know, I think that really at the end of the day, anything when you're looking at it and it's not, you're not doing it at work. Really you have a passion for it. And so it's not a work type of thing. It's something that you're doing because you want to do it. That gives you a certain amount of energy and a certain amount of motivation. But, yeah, I mean, it's – I just, and Claire, we know each other. I mean, Carol, you know each other, and we've met, and you see me, I'm just full of energy, and it's natural. I'm just kind of a natural, high-energy person.
Right. I know that. I love it when you are teaching, because your ideas come across with great enthusiasm. So tell us what film you're working on now.
Well, I'm right now, funny enough, I'm on set right now for a TV pilot called Midtown, that we initially started as a web series, and now we're selling it as a TV pilot, and there's all this interest in it. It's kind of a cop comedy, improvised comedy show, and it's a real fun thing, and I'm stepping away from the set to be on here today. But in the meantime, I have a film called Air Disturbance that was delayed a little bit, and it's starting in about 2 months. And there's another film that I'm in development on called Hero of the Underworld that's a very serious drama. And so I always try to keep busy. And funny, and I'd like to mention specifically, because I'm so excited about this, is one of the students in our intentional filmmaking class, you know, we kind of helped her, Carol and I, pushed her film forward, and it's shooting, and I'm one of the producers on it, and it's shooting this summer. It's called Fairhaven. And so that's another film that's happening and going forward. So I just think it's such a great thing when you actually can say, you know, people from the class actually went on and within, you know, 6 months of the end of the class are actually shooting a film. That's a really thing that I think that both you and I should be proud of, and also the students should be proud of.
Oh, you're not kidding. She really had, she switched from one film to another in the middle of the class.
Yep. Yep.
And then she put her intention on this this second film, and it's worked, right?
Go ahead, Carol. I'm sorry.
What are you doing to help her in the film? Are you producing?
I'm producing. I mean, as far as bringing her the location and actors and casting director, I just brought the casting, the Judy Henderson, who won the Emmy for Homeland, to be the casting director of this film, and truly doing it, you know, because it's all about relationships and favors. And I guess, you know, not to toot my own horn, but my involvement has generated the interest of those types of people. But would you hit the nail on the head? We corrected her. I remember you and I correcting her in the class in the middle when she changed to this, and she said, you know, I'd like to shoot the film in the summer. And we literally stopped her and said, no, you say, I'm going to shoot the film in the summer. And we changed her kind of verbiage on that, and that was one of the things that made it go forward. I truly believe that.
Yes, I do too. When she felt that if there was a possibility she could raise the money and do it, and she jumped into that intention, she really got it manifested for her. That is
exactly. Yeah,
right.
Totally. Yeah.
Well, I just think that the classes are so much fun because everyone seems to bring a different kind of problem to the class. And once they do, the information that you give them is, in my opinion, brilliant. And I have to let you know that Betsy Blankenbaker came in, and she has the rights to Oscar's Ball, about Oscar Richards, the pro basketball player.
Oscar Robertson, yes. Yeah.
Robert,
yeah.
Right. Well, now she's changed her mind and decided that the school she started in Africa is her priority, and she's going to sell the rights to that film, and it's packaged thanks to you and the class, so she's looking to sell it. Did you know about that?
I did not. I'll have to reach out to her for that. That's fantastic. You know, I think that a lot of times that was something that happened with our class that may not specifically happen with something else, is that we were so clear about intentions and not just process of, you know, the steps to get the film going, because a lot of times in the past when I've taught classes or I've consulted, that was like, here's the steps, and ours also had intention behind it. So when with the intention and the kind of the things that you were working on with them, with the manifesting and the spirituality, that was leading them in different paths. So it was a perfect example that Kirsten switched gears and went to the film that she thought she could make, and you know, and Betsy wants to switch gears and point to another direction in her life. That's all great. You know, it's kind of like pushing that rock up a hill, and instead of pushing it up the hill, we want to make sure that you're on top of the hill pushing the rock down the hill, and it's so much easier. And you know, and so I think we hopefully set the people in the right direction.
Well, there's another thing about Kirsten. She was the only one in the class that asked to be supported. When we first started the class, I sent out an email to everyone saying, I have made arrangements with people to intend with you. You're going to simply give them an envelope with the name, your name, and the name of your film. And inside the envelope will be the outline for the film. And they won't know you or contact you in any way. But 3 to 4 times a week, they will intend your success. And she was the only one who came along and said, okay, Carol, I want to do it. And so isn't that interesting? She's the one,
you know,
shooting first of all the people in the class.
Yes, and it's something that we, you know, we're probably going to try to emulate for the next classes to say, well, what did she do right? You know, it's amazing that, you know, we're going to have like a percentage of the class that actually went and made the films, you know, and for, you know, going forward, that's just so amazing to think that from starting from scratch at the beginning to actually shooting a film shortly in a couple months is such a big thing. So I think that's something that will reshape for the second class and go, okay, what did she do right? You know, and that's a big thing so that we can model that success, because I mean, the goal, as you and I both know from the first time we talked to anybody, was we want your films to be made. If the end of the class, you know, now Betsy aside, if she wants to take another life choice, that's okay. But we're all about the intention of pushing the projects forward and getting them made. And if it's just spinning the wheels, then it doesn't make any sense. That's never our intention. And so I think the people in the class felt that and kind of got behind that from the beginning.
Well, I don't know if you've been in touch with Mon, but her intention was to sell a piece of property in Thailand. She took the class from Thailand and to put that into her elephant project, and it's worked. She sold something. She has the money. She has the rights to get into the elephant compound in Thailand. Everybody wants to support her with the elephant film.
Yeah.
So the green light for her, and she'll be over here soon to work
Great.
On that.
To work on that. That's fantastic. You know, and that was, you know, we tried to focus her and her kind of, because she was had different ideas about what she wanted to do with her film, and that was the big thing for her. So each kind of student presented a different problem, you know. But at the end of the day, you have to take the action, you know. It's there was one of the students was supposed to, I was at NAFP, which is a TV market, and she was supposed to be down there, and unfortunately she couldn't be down there. And, you know, it just goes to show at the end of the day, you have to be able to take the action to do it. And I think, again, you know, not emulating Kirsten and even Mon, that's great when you actually go and you have to take action after you set that intention. And it's going to be followed by focused action. And once it is, that's when you get the results.
You really do. Well, let me just tell you that Carol Joyce she's calling you because she needs to pitch you that the movie Frame. She is very close to getting that $250,000 for the seed money. And,
oh, great.
So she's got to practice her pitch with you because you're so brilliant at it. Anyway, and then, of course, Donna is doing – she came in with what she thought would be a TV show, and I thought, oh, for children, I thought, oh, my gosh, you know, the chances of competing with the major people who produce those shows seems really difficult. But actually, through your connection, she got a director, and she's got the first two scripts, and it looks really promising.
Yes, and a director that's a huge name. I mean, you know, he's directed 13 TV pilots, and I think 8 of them were picked up, and one of the pilots being a teeny little TV show called Seinfeld. So he was the director of the Seinfeld pilot. Yeah, so, I mean, that's the thing is that I think with you and I is that we're pretty much open books with our connections, besides maybe my personal financiers that I'm trying to get, you know, films that I'm going with. And even them, if they're looking for a specific project, if they were looking for a family TV show, I would put them together. But as far as all my connections in the industry, the value that we bring is, you know, I don't want to feel like I'm just sitting here pitching the class, but I look back and I think, man, the value that we gave is at least 10, 20 times what they paid for it. You can't even place a value on it, which that's when I feel good about myself. I never wanted to be the guy that's, you know, like an entertainment attorney that's charging you X amount per hour and that's it. Doesn't matter if you use them, you don't use them, what the person does or what it doesn't, it's hourly rate and that's it. And that's never what I wanted to be, because it's not my intention to sit there and spin wheels and not make movies.
Right. Well, it's amazing. You know, the class ended in December, I guess, so we've got a few months past to look back and see what's happened. And it was an amazing class.
Yeah.
So I just want to talk to you some about some of the things that we worked on in the class, and one of them was the pitch packages, because I really like the way that you handle pitch packages. I've seen so many come through from the Heart Grants where they've got 20, 30 pages, and after 15 pages, I'm exhausted, and like, more, I have to read more, and so tell us what you think is a good number for pitch package pages.
Well, I would say there's no exact thing where I could say this is a good number, but I would say that you mentioned the number 15. I wouldn't go over 15 pages or so with that. But the reason I say there's no good number is because they could be 15 pages filled with non-stop content, which I think is a mistake as well. You know, I think if you're going to do a 15-page thing, there better be pages that are just bullet-pointed, get-to-the-point type of thing, you know, because this is going to be – are not going to be put in front of their financial advisor guy. They're going to be put in front of the investor themselves, and they're going to want bullet points, and they're going to want clear and concise information. You know, later on, when you get the operating agreement or the offering memorandum, the private placement memorandum, whatever you have, that's going to be a legit document that's 30, 40 pages, whatever. You know, but this point in that pitch packet, it needs to be concise, it needs to be succinct, and it needs to be easy to read and easy to flip through. You know, you can't have tons of writing and things like that. They're not going to be able to flip through it and listen to your pitch at the same time.
That's right. And you use a lot of colors and graphics on the page.
Yes, professionally designed is the key. You know, and we talk about that, you know, not going into super detail with that, but how to get those things professionally designed for rock bottom prices, or, you know, so that this is something that looks professional. It's going to set your pitch packet or business plan per se apart from everybody else's.
Exactly. And I love the fact that you're always reading sales books, because filmmakers have to be salespeople, right?
Yeah, always. I mean, right now, funny enough, there's a book on my desk called How I Raised Myself from Failure to Success in Selling, which I think is one of the best ones. And but at the same time, I'm reading The Power of Intention by Wayne Dyer, only because it's a funny side story. That was one of the books that took me from, you know, one-bedroom apartment in a little apartment in New Jersey to mansion in the hills, because it was just so focused on intention. And funny enough, I just recently ran into a guy that years ago was a producer, and he was worried he was going to quit the business, and I gave him this book. And now cut to today. This was, I'd say, 2006 or 2007. Cut to today. I cannot even tell you how much he's worth. He's actually not in the film business. He's in the internet marketing business, but highly respected. I mean, this is a guy pulling an easy $5,000-$6,000 a day, and he credits it to that book. And I had to remind him. We just had a lunch meeting, and I had to remind him that I gave him the book, and he went, "Oh, my God, I completely forgot," and blah, blah, blah. And so I thought, you know what, I should go back and read this book again. So I'm going back. So a lot of times I revisit old stuff to go, okay, what is, you know, because you need refreshers no matter who you are. If you're ever standing there going, "Oh, I know everything about spirituality or manifesting," BS. You need to go out and refresh and pick up new tips and do stuff like that, you know.
Absolutely. Now, what is it? It's in one of the recent films. It's up for Academy Award, American Hustle. Is that it?
American Hustle, yeah.
Yes, because it's when he gets the beat up by the mafia and the bag over his head and scares him to death, she says, "See, I've been reading Wayne Dyer and his intentions, and that was my intention to get you so scared you would come up with a good plan." It was hysterical.
That's great. That was so funny that when Jennifer says that. But I think it's hilarious, you know, that it goes – the easier way to put it is there was a motivational thing that says that the how is always – you can always figure out the how if the why is big enough, meaning how would you climb Mount Everest? Well, if I told you I'll give you $20 million cash if you do it, find a way to climb Mount Everest. And in that case, American Hustle, like, how is he going to figure out a way out of it? Well, his life, you know, his life is being given right then, you know. So he's going to figure out the how very simply. So, yeah.
Well, I think it's a good idea to go back and read that. But I also commend you for your – most people say ABC, always be closing, and you say ABP, which is?
So yes, always be pitching. You know, it's like, you know, you have to have, as a producer, you have to have so many projects in development, and you have to be actively looking and seeking support and finances for those projects. So I'm always talking about films and the next film that I'm going to be doing to people. But yeah, you know, to the people I meet, I'm telling them, you know, this is the project. And even if I find out a film just got financed, well, that's great. Then still pitch the next film. Start lining things up. Always be have a long kind of long ball approach to it, you know, so it's really, you're always pitching, you're always selling yourself, and you're selling your film.
Exactly. All right, well, see, there's so many people who have written scripts, and they want to get them produced, and they've never made a film before, and their chances of selling it and having someone make it are pretty slim, so there's a place and a point in time where they recognize the only way to get it made is to do it themselves. So what advice do you have for people like that who never made but they have a great script?
Yeah, that's, you know, and I think the advice really is, you know, I hate to say take our class, but it's take our class or start to, you know, read books about, you know, taking the bull by the horns, you know. There's a quote that I was just reading from the guy that was not a good person, but the guy that The Wolf of Wall Street is based on, and he said the only thing standing between you and your dream is the BS excuse that you're telling yourself. And so it's really to those people that you just got to make that decision of, I'm going to do this. You know, I can do this myself. When you finally believe, almost like Kirsten believed, I can make this movie, then that's when it really happens.
Exactly. When you really believe it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, what's going on? What do you suggest about filmmakers on social media, Tom? Because I know you're on Facebook a lot. So how do you think that we should be using social media?
Well, you know, the key is that there's a whole new way of marketing now, and, you know, everybody is on there and everybody is connected, and you need to kind of be, in a way, your own champion. And you know, no one has perfectly figured out, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you haven't figured it out perfectly. You need to be on there and tweeting and doing Facebook posts and updating with stills from the set and things like that and building an audience. And these are all tools. You have to consider them tools that you didn't have in the past. You didn't, you know, there was no way to connect with your audience this way. So because everyone is, quote, unquote, connected, you can connect with them because they're the people that are eventually going to come buy a ticket to the movies or, you know, are they going to come, you know, to iTunes and pay the money. So you need to connect with that audience and be actively pursuing it. If you don't know how to do it, hire somebody that knows how to do it, you know, and but it needs to be an aspect that's considered with every film or TV show or whatever.
Right. Well, I interviewed Sherry Candler, and she was talking about knowing who is your market. And in listening to her, it sounded like the same thing you would do if you were writing a script or you were acting a character. You would want to know who they are, meaning where do they hang out, what decisions would they make, what kind of person is it. So I've always taught, where is my market? She says, no, it's both. It's where. First, it's who. Who are they? And then it's where are they hanging out. And once you find those places, then that's where you really want to connect or create some strategic alliance with those organizations.
Without question, that's the key is again, knowing who, like you said, knowing who's going to be the person that comes and buys the ticket or pays for the money on VOD. Who are you going to show this to?
Right. Who are they and what is their character and what do you have to do to find them?
A perfect example is this web series that we shot that's now become a TV pilot. I only mention it because I'm in full cop uniform right now as we're speaking.
I can't imagine you in a cop uniform. That is wonderful.
So I'll text you a picture right after this. But the key is that you know, we put it out there as a web series, and one of the reasons that we're trying to sell it as a pilot is because it got so popular. Now, it was funny and it was good content, but we didn't get the hits at first until we posted on cop websites, and there were some Facebook fan pages for NYPD. One of them had 3 million likes, we posted on there, and suddenly, within 2 weeks, a combination of these videos that we posted, we got 300,000 hits. You know, and so that was already we found an audience because we found the people that thought this was funny, and so we marketed directly to them, and look what happened.
Fantastic. So it's really the way to make films these days, because when the news was out about Hoffman, I watched the television news locally, and they were quoting tweets. So the tweets, I think, are as important as the Facebook now.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. My funny thing about tweets is that you see them on movies. Like, there was a movie just came out called Grudge Match with Stallone and De Niro, and the reviews were tweets. Now, I think that's a little far-fetched because these people are not reviewers, but it's hilarious. Like, they're getting away with these commercials, these trailers on TV that's like, it's a laugh riot. And if you look, it's by, like, at, you know, movie guy 64, you know, and that's the person. It's like, what qualifies that guy to review it? But that's it's hilarious that you got to embrace it. That's really where it's become now, is that the person that could tweet about your movie on Twitter is the person that's going to start a whole, you know, movement behind your film.
It's amazing. Yeah, well, it is truly a time where you do it with others, and you have to bring those others into your film early on is the key. Well, just give us some tips for filmmakers who want to fund docs or features. What do you think are some of the important things to focus on?
I think the key with that, especially with docs, is try to find somebody that has a vested interest approach in the film. I talk about that in my book, and we talk about it in the class, is that a vested interest approach is pitching them not on just a financial thing, like here's how much and here's how much money you're going to make, like here's what I want from you and here's how much money you're going to make, because documentaries don't historically make money. So you have to pitch them on, you know, it's a cause or it's something. Like Mon is a perfect example of these elephants in Thailand and supporting that, is that you have to go after people that are high net worth individuals that are into animal rights, you know, or into, you know, some type of or from Thailand. So you need to look at every project specifically and go, who would want to fund this and is not theoretically worried about getting their money back and is not funding from I'm putting X in, I want X times 10. You know, they want to do the movie because they think it's a better, you know, something about it is going to be a different reason. So that's the vested interest approach.
Well, Tom, thank you. I know you've got to get back to the set, and it's just been so great to get to talk to you, and I want you to tell people how they can find you.
Oh, great. Well, you can go to bankrollthebook.com, and that's the site specifically for Bankroll, my book, and Get the Gold, which is my audio series, or tommalloy.com, and I've been a little lax in updating, but I'm about to change that because I'm pulling somebody into the team that's going to update and things like that. So those two sites, you can reach me, and hopefully we'll get some people in the class that want to make films and want to point their intention in the right direction.
Exactly. So if those who are interested can go to fromtheheartproductions.com and look under classes, under education, and you'll find the intentional filmmaking class. And it tells you all about it. It's really it's priced right because we are a nonprofit. From the Heart is a nonprofit. And so the money you pay is a tax write-off if you don't have a corporation. So it's a donation from the heart, and that's why Tom is teaching at such a low rate, because he certainly commands much more than that in all areas of his life.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's a giving back thing, and I think we both had that intention from the beginning, is that this is, you know, there's better reasons behind it than just, you know, making money. Yeah.
Right. Thank you so much, Tom. Best to you on this film and the two others you have coming together.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for having me on.
Okay.
Yes.
Take care.
All right. Thank you both.
Take care.
Be well, everyone.
Okay. All right. Take care.
I want to remind our listeners that David Raiklin is a brilliant and talented award-winning musician who scores films and can compose music for a trio or for a full orchestra. David is a very good friend to the independent filmmaker and comes highly recommended by From the Heart Productions. If you need music to help tell your story, please contact him at davidraiklin.com. That's David, RAIKLEN.com. And Carol and I want to thank you for tuning in to The Art of Film Funding. Please visit our website at FromTheHeartProductions.com. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. Good luck with your films, everyone.